will turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 103. No doubt the Lord has been good to us. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I come to you this morning, Lord, humbly before you, dear Lord God, asking you to take over these next few minutes, Lord, and give us what you want us to have, dear Lord God, that I would get out of your way, Lord, that your will would be done, Lord, and your message would get across, dear Lord God. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so I was praying about what to teach on this morning, and the Lord gives me messages in different ways, and sometimes it's real easy for me to come up with a message, not me, but sometimes the message comes real easy, sometimes not so easy, and the way this message came was interesting. I was praying, and Lord, what do you want me to share Sunday? You know, what verses, what topic would you like for me to bring forward? And one word came to my mind, a very random and weird word, wildflowers. Wildflowers. What am I supposed to do with wildflowers? And that was all I got. And a few days, wildflowers. What is it about wildflowers? So, you know, like any true Generation Xer, I Googled wildflowers. Maybe Google knows what's going on with wildflowers. And I learned when I Googled wildflowers that a wildflower is defined as a flower that grows in a field and was not planted or was not intentional, an unintentional flower of the field. Okay, so I started looking into my Bible about flowers in the field. Well, the Bible does talk about flowers of the field. It talks about it in a few places. It talks about it in Psalms 103, and let's go there now. Chapter 103, verse 11. This is, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He remembers that we are dust, but we don't often remember that we are dust, do we? We think we're so much greater than that. We must. We serve ourselves in such a way that we think we're so much greater than that. Verse 15 is where the flower comes in. "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, do them." So this flower of the field, every time it's mentioned in the Bible, it talks about this fleeting life or this fleeting beauty, this thing that is there, it's there for a season, and then it's gone away. This flower, to me, speaks to a very temporary existence that we have. Just after the verse where it tells us that we're temporary and the flower is temporary, it talks about the word of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We are temporary. God is forever. A few months ago, my family and I had a chance to go to Washington, D.C. And I don't know if you guys have ever made that trip, but I was there for work, and we had a chance to just all load up and go. And we got to go around and see the monuments that are in Washington. And it was the first time I had ever connected the stories that I'd learned through school, or the history that I'd learned through school, with actual people. So if you go over to the Jefferson Memorial, you'll see a dome. You'll walk up these big steps, and inside that dome is a statue of a man, Thomas Jefferson, that would probably reach the ceiling from here. And on the walls are some of his words that he had written in the Declaration of Independence. And the words are just so profound and so great. And his image stands so tall. There's been a monument made to him. And he left a legacy that impacts this earth or impacts America for several centuries. I think that marble and that copper and that iron will stand. But it won't stand forever. Someday it'll crumble. Someday it'll fade. And even the choice people of our history, like Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln, and this is just American history, George Washington and others, they get these monuments built for them. But even the monuments are temporary. But I'll say most of us sitting in here today won't get a monument built for us in Washington, D.C. When our flower fades, there'll be much less. There won't be that much marble, maybe a little bit of marble, a little bit of granite for us. But it won't span on a hilltop, and it won't be lighted every night. And there won't be tourists coming to visit it in most cases. So our impact on this earth, just like this flower of the field, is for a short time. You know, there are several men who've had a huge impact on our lives today. You know, Steve Jobs, he's a man that had a big impact on America. He created, at this point, I think it's the largest market cap company in the world, if I'm not mistaken. They just passed Exxon in market cap. You know, I remember when he was at his sickest, everyone was really worried about what would happen to Apple if he were to pass away, and what would happen to Apple stock? Is it going to plummet because it's all hinging on this one man? Well, when he did pass, I believe the stock actually went up the next day, and now it's hitting, months later, it's hitting record highs. We don't have as much importance as we sometimes think we do. You know, this world can move right along without us. But even when we can't persist, God does persist. You know, Thomas Edison, the light's in here today. He created a version of the light bulb, the incandescent light bulb. Well, we have just replaced all the lights in the church with something called a fluorescent light bulb. It looks a lot like an incandescent light bulb, but it's a better version. It gives off the same light, some would argue, and does it with less energy. The mark that Thomas Edison made is starting to fade in this world. As a matter of fact, he gets a little bit too much credit for the mark that he made. He would have had all of us running off of DC direct current electricity. And a man named Nikola Tesla came along and said, no, there's a much better way to do it. AC, alternating current. Back when Thomas Edison had DC running through all the cities, the trolleys and the things that ran on DC, they said there was this distinct sound that the trolley would make when the current would build up because of this DC power they were using. And the charge would build and build and build, and it would make this kind of a hum or a whining sound. And everyone knew that meant to run because that current would seek ground and it would jump out and touch someone and kill them. And you could imagine being in a city where everyone is, you know, riding the trolleys and they're on the streets around the trolleys, and all of a sudden everyone starts fleeing because they're running for their lives. But it was one of those things that was improved upon. And it's Nikola Tesla, even though he had a great impact on our electricity and our network and the wire grid that we use today, he died a lonely, broke man in a hotel room. Yet, we stand under the lights of the things that he created years ago. But none of us, almost none of us, know his name. It's a crazy thing how history paints people and how little impact we can have while we're here. So the time that we have here is very short. I've always been kind of perplexed by time, the sequence of time, time travel. These are the things that I like to spend my extra brain power on wondering about. You guys all probably saw Back to the Future, that goofy show where you can use the flex time capacitor and move back in time. That, even though it's a goofy show, the concept of that just boggles my mind. James 4:14 describes life as a vapor, something that's there just for a moment and it goes away. And yet here we are stuck in this sequence where we see tick, 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 tick. That's where we live, where everything is in order and everything is happening a moment after a moment after a moment. God sees time as a whole. He sees things before they happen. He knows what's going to happen. He's already written about the things that are going to happen. The space-time continuum that stretches in sequence, the number line that stretches in sequence for us, is all compressed into one show for God. That's why God's ways are so much greater than our ways. God is so much bigger than we are. God knows so much more than we know. He's so much more enlightened than we are. And that's why we should always question ourselves and our judgment, especially if it goes against God's judgment and God's words. Kind of as short as life is, it kind of makes our pursuit of material things quite silly, if you really think about it. We go through this sequence of time trying to gather and gather and gather and gather and gather and hoard. And the truth is, you know, God sees the beginning and the end, and He sees it all together. And all the things that we gather along the way are temporal things. Speaking of this sequence of time, Albert Einstein once said that when a man sits with a pretty girl for an hour, it can seem like a minute. But let him sit on a hot stove for a minute, and it's longer than any hour. Time is very relative to the experience that you're exposed to, isn't it? Time plays a significant role in our lives. It's our duty, because of time, it's our duty to make every day count for God's kingdom. Instead of gathering these things, in 2 Corinthians 4:18 it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, it's hard for us to keep our minds away from the whirlwind that we live in each day. It's hard for us to step outside the whirlwind and think of the eternal. Think of the things that are going to be here forever. Think of God's things. We think we have tomorrow. We assume we have tomorrow. We conduct our lives as if we have tomorrow. And there's no guarantee of tomorrow. There was a man, a baseball player. You guys may, I may be pronouncing this wrong because I don't think I've ever heard it pronounced. Roberto Clemente, did I get that right? Okay, so he died in 1972, December of 1972. That's about a month after I was born. Okay, you can go on YouTube right now and you can type in Roberto Clemente and you can see news clips of him. He was a Puerto Rican baseball player. And in that time, minorities weren't treated as well as they are today. And he was in a tough period. He was a It appeared to me, based on what I read about him, that he was a man of a good heart. He wanted to help people. Well, he was one of less than a dozen people during that time who were coming up on the record of having 3,000 RBIs, 3,000 base hits. The last game of the season, he was set up at 2,999 hits for his career. One of the sportscasters looked at the roster for the day for the last game and didn't see Roberto's name on the roster. He went down to the dugout and said, "What is this? Why are you sitting out this game? You've got the chance to get your 3,000th hit." He said, well, the businessmen, the owners of the baseball team, really want us to wait until next season, let me get that 3,000th hit, because they can spend all summer, they can spend all the in-between season promoting and building it up, and we can get more people in the stadium, and we can make more revenue off of it. And the sportscaster said, no, you need to do this today. You may not have another season. Well, he got out, he went, he got himself back on the roster, he went and made his 3,000th hit. When he died in a plane crash in December, he had exactly 3,000 hits. He never got his 3,000 first hit. He was actually on a plane taking supplies to earthquake victims when that occurred. But my whole point is, never make the assumption that there's another season in your life. This could be the last season. And let's treat our lives and let's treat ourselves as if there's not another season. And keep our minds on the eternal things. Never trade things that matter for things that don't. I have to repeat that to myself very often. Never trade the things that matter for the things that don't. Because there's always that option. Almost every day there's a fork in the road. And you've got the opportunity to trade. Always keep the things that matter in the right perspective. Okay, so we're not promised another season. And the earth won't remember you forever. Isaiah 40:15 says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place... I got my notes wrong. This is actually, I'm going back to Psalms 103. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. So verse 16 out of the verse that we read originally, it says, the place will remember it no more. Just this week in my company, we changed presidents of the section that I work in. I believe that president has, I forget, it's tens of thousands of employees under him. A very powerful man, you know, makes, I'm not sure how much he makes a year. It's public record, though. It's in the millions. He's a man of great influence. They stood on the stage and they did this big broadcast, and it was him and the guy that was replacing him, and they kind of shared this, you know, this transition discussion that they were doing there. Well, the truth is, even though the leaving president has been our president for about a decade now, he's had great influence, great impact, and we've all respected him. The truth is, as soon as he walks off that stage, as soon as he takes his retirement plaque, and as soon as he's gone, he's basically irrelevant to those tens of thousands of people. No longer relevant. No matter how much power you build in your life, no matter how much position you get, there's a time where you step away and become irrelevant. That power becomes irrelevant. And if it doesn't happen before we leave the world, you better believe as soon as you cross over, that power stays here and remains irrelevant. My wife and I bought some property a few months ago that we want to build a house on someday. And one of the things that drew us to this specific piece of property is there's a stream there, and along that stream are some very mature old trees. There's one of the pine trees there that you could probably join three people together, and that's what it would take to get around that tree. And when I'm down there talking to the girls, letting them play or whatever, we talk sometimes about, you know, if these trees could tell stories, what would they say about this land? No doubt there were probably Indians living on that land around that branch. I know that the land was farmed at one time because I can find trees there that have barbed wire, you know, this deep into the tree. And if you could play through the time just looking over that spot of land, the people who have come and gone. My wife's real big on genealogy, and she did a search just on that property, and she found a man that had lost the property due to not paying his taxes. And I believe it was the early 1900s, and I think the bill that he owed was like $7, something of that nature. You know, it was just the way that time sequences and the way time goes. But no doubt that these folks left a little small mark on that piece of property and a little bit of legacy with those with those barbed wire fences that I'll every now and then I'll find with my foot or I'll trip over. And, you know, there's a couple of little faint places where I can see, well, there might have been a road there someday. But the bottom line is, really, it's just gone all back to nature and all back to what it was before they ever impacted it. And the more time that passes, the less fingerprint those people left. And now it's my turn, right? And I'll, if I do get a chance to build on it someday, whatever I do and whatever I scrape and whatever I move and whatever I cut and whatever I grow and whatever I build, someone's going to come behind me. And the little mark that I leave is going to be a very small thing. So just like the flower of the field in Psalm 16, the place thereof shall know it no more. So if God wants me to talk about wildflowers today, and these are the verses that I've found that supported wildflowers, or that supported flowers, and it really speaks of a fleeting life and a short life. I think what the Lord's trying to say to us is for us to fix our mind on eternal things, not put too much stake in this life and in the things that you're trying to build and the things that you're trying to do. And remember the eternal things. In 1 Peter 24 and 28, the same verses come up again. 1 Peter chapter 1, 24. Excuse me, 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, if we can't live forever, and now I've got you guys all depressed that you don't make any impact on the world, let's talk about how we can live forever. If the Word lives forever, how can we live forever? Go to John. This is some of my favorite verses in the Bible. The book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for our witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. This Word that First Peter 1:25 says will endureth forever is the same Word that you can accept for salvation of your soul. Accepting that Word puts you in the category of eternal things, not temporal things. Accepting that Word brings you into a place where you can have an eternal impact through God's power and draws you out of this temporary life and out of this flower falling in the field that can't be remembered, and makes you part of something that's bigger. Now we're linked in the space-time continuum with something that's eternal. Now we can join hands with the eternal world, the eternal Word, the eternal impact that Jesus is having on the world. Let Him use us. Let Him use us in the things that go beyond the time that we're here. It's a bigger picture. It's a bigger purpose. And it can all be done for us, through us, because of the grace and the truth that is offered through the Word of God. So, you know, we're starting a week of revival here. And if you haven't accepted Christ, I'd say this is a good week to do it. Some of us need to have our heads around what Christ is and what these eternal things are. I would ask you that if you're still on the fence of whether this thing is real, I'd lend you to remember the things that C.S. Lewis said about Jesus. C.S. Lewis said that Jesus was one of three things. And this is easy to remember. He was either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. We all kind of have to make a decision, because if you read through this Bible, Jesus says some pretty amazing things. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was here to take away the sins of the world. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's only one of three categories of a man that can make those claims. If you decide that he was not a liar, he was not a lunatic, if you decide that he was Lord, then you need to react to him. Link yourself with these things that are eternal. Get out of this temporal world. Because guess what? As a flower in the field fadeth away and fall, this world won't remember you. Don't link yourself to the things that don't matter. Don't trade the things that don't matter for the things that do. Thank you for your attention.